From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. The COVID-19 case counts continue to grow larger locally. Albany County announced two records December 2nd, with 167 new coronavirus cases and 84 residents hospitalized. Rensselaer County reported on December 2nd, 51 new COVID-19 cases, including four RPI faculty. Columbia County announced 22 new COVID-19 cases, while Greene County did not post any update with any information on December 2nd. The number of active positive cases in Ulster County rose 127% in the last 2 weeks. The good news was that Governor Andrew Cuomo promises the first vaccines in New York December 15. Cuomo says New York is receiving 170,000 doses of the Pfizer vaccine to start inoculating healthcare workers. By the end of the month, New York expects to receive additional doses of the Moderna vaccine, which can be stored in an ordinary freezer, as well as more of Pfizer's. The elderly will be next in line for the vaccine, and it is likely that it won't be until the spring before the rest of the public receives the vaccine. Columbia County Department of Health Director Jack Mabb has condemned plans for Hudson's annual winter walk on Saturday, December 5th, calling it a potential COVID-19 super spreader event. Mabb said, and I quote, "If I tell you I'm having a birthday party and I'm expecting 50 visitors, when in fact I'm expecting hundreds, does that make it okay? No," end quote. His comments were included in Columbia County Board of Supervisors Chair Matt Murrell's daily press release. Under Governor Andrew M. Cuomo's executive order, a 50-person limit has been imposed on all public gatherings. Hudson Hall at the historic Hudson Opera House, a longtime promoter of Winter Walk, is advertising events on Saturday as late night shopping, Santa Claus, Santa's Village, and fireworks. Other events are scheduled to take place through December 24th. Mabb, noting that he has attended the holiday extravaganza many times over the years, said, and I quote, "What is being outlined by the Opera House is essentially Winter Walk," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "This has an opportunity to be a significant COVID-19 spreader. Contract tracing would be impossible in this situation, and I would really discourage this event from happening," end quote. He added that Albany County is currently, and I quote, "over 3% and a day or so away from the yellow zone," end quote, which calls for more stringent measures. Mabb said, and I quote, "There are consequences. If we're not careful, we will return to the days of shutting down gyms, hairdressers, indoor dining, and the like," end quote. And you can read the full press release at ColumbiaCounty.com. Melanie Lekasevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Opponents of a proposed housing development on Strong Road in Durham are making their objections known, posting signs and producing a petition enumerating their concerns about the project. Several people also spoke against the project at a December 1st meeting of the Durham Town Board after the project developers supplied preliminary sketches of the plan. Bosque Development LLC is proposing a residential and farm project that would be sited on 95 acres on two parcels of land near Cornwallville and Strong Road. The project would subdivide two lots into 13. 12 would be residential, varying in size from 3 to 10 acres. A Bosque representative said there would be 12 single-family homes, and I quote, "consistent with the character of Cornwallville's historic district and community," end quote. The farm parcel would be located on a separate 5-acre site. Cornwallville resident Dan Clifton said, and I quote, "It is a big project, and it will have a big impact. It will turn a rural landscape into a suburban subdivision that directly contradicts the essence of Cornwallville Historic District," end quote. He also called upon the town board to complete a full environmental assessment, not the short form submitted in the developer's preliminary sketch plan. Resident Abigail Agranat said she also believes the project will change the nature of the community. Resident Stephen Elwood disputed the developer's historic district study, claiming there are no homes in the area eligible for listing on the National Historic Register, and resident Melanie Westlock is concerned about the size of the project. Clifton said the community is opposed to the project. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Susan Arbetter is reporting for State of Politics. New York farmers are asking Governor Andrew M. Cuomo not to lower the overtime threshold for farm workers statewide. Last year, Cuomo signed into law the Farm Laborers Fair Labor Practices Act, which gave farm workers new benefits, including overtime pay. The legislation also created a wage board that has held 6 hearings this year. It is responsible for determining whether the new 60-hour-per-week overtime minimum for farm workers should be maintained or lowered. Before the passage of the law, agriculture workers in New York and 24 other states were not entitled to the benefits that workers in other industries had received for decades. In 2020, for the first time, they received overtime pay in New York. The wage board has until December 31st to decide whether to keep the 60-hour-a-week overtime threshold or to lower it. 26 agricultural organizations sent a letter to Cuomo urging him to keep the minimum at 60 hours. And you can read more at nystateofpolitics.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.